Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
On a Thursday, it's November 14th, 2024. How you doing this morning? Hope you're doing well. Great to be with you and excited as always about our program on a Thursday and every day here on EWTN. Coming up after the news and the weather and all that good stuff, we'll check in with our very own Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN, and we will be having two segments, as we always do on Thursdays, of cultural connections. And Father wants to talk about how we should be treating each other, well, in general, obviously, as Christians, but also, how do we treat those with whom we disagree? And he wanted to draw from the example of the brief meeting at the White House yesterday with President Biden and President-elect Trump of how, at least from all appearances, at least what we're seeing, they seem to be able to put a lot of their differences aside, and President Biden promising publicly for a smooth transition of power and Donald Trump thanking him. And we'll have that story in the news as well. So what does that mean? How can we learn from this? And is it true? Is it honest? Is it really happening? I don't know. Don't want to judge them. I mean, it seemed like they were being very polite to each other. But also, there's this movement that's out there, out in the left, telling people and really encouraging people by these crazy statements and examples. And we mentioned this earlier this week with Dr. Greg Popcheck, not to hang out with relatives over the holidays, starting with Thanksgiving in 2 weeks, if your relatives voted differently than you, as in if they voted for Donald Trump. And I came across a very interesting opinion piece where it talked about this is what happens in cults. And this is what happens in domestic relationships, where they try to get you to convince or to realize, they try to convince you that the only people that matter are the people that only agree with you. They're the ones that are going to keep you safe. They're the ones that truly understand you. And you can't get into a situation with someone who feels differently, because if you do, then you might be challenged, and the hold this cult has on you could be broken. And that's exactly what's happening with these people. Don't go to your relatives. And the other thing that's happening is the people who are making these wild claims have absolutely no attribution. I've not seen one person, whether it be someone who's just screaming and yelling in a TikTok video or on X or somewhere else, that can back up their claims about what they think is going to happen under the new administration. It's nothing but fear-mongering, screaming, hate speech, and they're the ones that are accusing those who are on the opposite side of the aisle of being hateful. You've got actresses losing your mind. You've got newscasters. You've got hosts. You've got people saying they're dropping out of Twitter. I guess over 100,000 people have, you know, canceled their accounts. Okay, fine. There's still 611 or 620 million people on X or Twitter. And if you want to do that, that's, you know, hey, it's a free country still, thanks be to God. But to sit there and to insist that people should be away from their family, that doesn't even make any sense, unless you're too afraid to face someone who has a different opinion, which I think is the bottom line, because God forbid somebody should be challenged about how they feel about something. All right, so Father Mitch Pacwa will discuss at 15 minutes past the hour. Steve Ray joins us at 9:39 Eastern Time. We'll talk about the Good News Cruise coming up. He'll be one of the speakers, but also a number of ways you can join him on pilgrimage, including Saints and Shrines that we're doing in May. Look forward to that in Italy. That is the show for what we say today as a rundown in the business. All right, let's take a look at the weather. We have coastal rain and higher elevation snowfall continuing over the Pacific Northwest and Northern California throughout the day. On the East Coast, a coastal storm there expected to bring a period of gusty winds, enhanced rainfall, and thunderstorms in the Carolinas to the Mid-Atlantic states tonight and into tomorrow. Thanks so much for tuning in to Catholic Connection on a Thursday morning, almost 5 minutes past the hour. The news, as always, is brought to you by our friends at House of Joppa, houseofjoppa.com. Joe Biden meeting with President-elect Trump at the White House yesterday.
Welcome. Thank you very much.
The two meeting and spoke of peaceful transitions of power. They appeared at the Oval Office and exchanged pleasantries.
Politics is tough, and it's many cases not a very nice world, but it is a nice world today, and I appreciate it very much. A transition that's so smooth, it'll be as smooth as it can get.
Their get-together comes as Trump is working to fill key posts in his upcoming administration. The nation's 45th president set to take office as the nation's 47th president. That's coming up on January 20th. Meanwhile, President-elect Trump is putting an early focus on border security with his cabinet positions. His backers say this is a signal that immigration reform will be a major part of the administration.
He's serious about dealing with the Mexican cartels, and that is an absolute must that I am very happy to see.
That's Celine Rodriguez with the Texas Public Policy Foundation. She's cheering Trump's pick for border czar. Former ICE Director Tom Homan saying at the Republican National Convention the cartels should be designated as foreign terrorist organizations. In addition, Trump is reportedly tapping his former immigration advisor, Stephen Miller, as a deputy chief of staff. And House Republicans are nominating Speaker Mike Johnson to retain the gavel for another 2 years. Johnson was running unopposed and won the speakership nomination on a voice vote. Republicans also voted Steve Scalise as House Majority Leader. The nomination's coming just after Republicans yesterday secured the majority control of the U.S. House. Lisa Taylor tells us President-elect Trump is also nominating Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz for Attorney General.
In a post on Truth Social, Trump said Gaetz is deeply gifted and a tenacious attorney. The president-elect added few issues are more important than ending the partisan weaponization of the justice system. In a post on X, Gaetz said it will be an honor to serve as attorney general.
Meanwhile, House Speaker Mike Johnson says Gaetz submitted his resignation effective immediately, just hours after being nominated as a U.S. attorney general. At a news conference yesterday, Johnson admitting the decision by the Florida congressman did catch them by surprise.
I asked him what the reasoning was, and he said, well, you can't have too many absences. So under Florida state law, there's about an 8-week period to select and fill a vacant seat.
Johnson says if Florida's Republican Governor Ron DeSantis acts quickly, a special election to replace Gaetz could be held before January 3rd when members of the new Congress take the oath of office. It is not yet clear whether Gaetz will be able to get Senate confirmation to become attorney general. And South Dakota's John Thune is the next leader of the Senate Republicans.
It's a new day in the United States Senate, and it's a new day in America. The American people have loudly rejected the failed policies of the Biden-Harris-Schumer agenda.
Thune and Texas John Cornyn facing off in a secret vote after Florida's Rick Scott was eliminated in the first round ballot for Senate Majority Leader. Thune will replace Kentucky's Mitch McConnell, who is stepping aside as the Republican leader. In other news this morning, more than 20 countries across Europe have come together in Rome to take part in a conference dedicated to the church's ongoing efforts to protect the most vulnerable. Reporter Kelsey Gussie with Vatican News explaining to kick off the three-day conference, the Pope sent a letter to the participants praising the presence of the countries, even in the midst of war and conflict for some.
25 countries across Europe have come together in Rome to participate in a conference dedicated to the church's ongoing efforts to protect the most vulnerable. From November 13th to the 15th, the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors is hosting the Safeguarding in the Catholic Church in Europe conference. Its goal, to further the work of the European Network on Safeguarding that began in Warsaw, Poland in 2021. To kick off the conference, Pope Francis sent a letter to the participants praising the presence of all countries that are there, especially those in the midst of conflict. He reminded them of their call to be peacemakers in the world and dubbed their attendance an eloquent witness to unity and solidarity that transcends all borders. The Pope expressed his hope the conference will create a network of people and good practices geared at sharing information and supporting one another to provide effective and sustainable programs. He encouraged the participants to create initiatives that provide comfort and assistance to those who have suffered. 100 representatives, including victims and survivors, are participating in this conference, which officially began with a video message from Cardinal Sean Patrick O'Malley, the president of the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors. The cardinal expressed his hope the differences found in the various European countries can help repair the harm caused to children, now adults, who suffered abuse in the Catholic Church. Stressing the importance of giving a voice to victims and survivors, Cardinal O'Malley said children are central to our faith. He underscored the need to lead with compassion, while also following due process in investigating allegations. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
Ohio lawmakers are approving a bill that would establish restrictions for public school bathroom use among transgender students. It's Senate Bill 104, and it was passed by the state Senate in a 24-7 vote yesterday, sending it on its way to the governor's desk for final approval. That measure would ban transgender students from using school restrooms that do not align with their biological sex. Andrew Whitman tells us crews and drones will monitor parks in northern Manhattan and Queens, this after large brush fires broke out there yesterday.
Two different fires broke out inside Inwood Hill Park at the same time Wednesday around 3 p.m. One was put down quickly, the other burned for hours and charred 3.5 acres. The terrain was so difficult, marine units were used to throw Hudson River water onto the flames. No injuries. Fire Commissioner Robert Tucker said Wednesday morning the FDNY had responded to more than 229 brush fires in the city since October 29th, the most ever in a two-week period.
And New Jersey's Governor Phil Murphy is now declaring a drought warning, with the state currently in that record-breaking dry spell.
Every one of us needs to do whatever we can to conserve water. To that point, and it goes without saying, this is not the time to be lighting outdoor fires either.
The warning allowing officials to control reservoir releases and modify the rate of flow from streams in order to conserve water. The warning is one step below a water emergency and mandatory restrictions. The state has seen very little rain this fall, and drier than normal conditions are in the forecast. And as you heard in previous reports today and other days here, the extremely dry conditions resulting in hundreds of wildfires since the start of October. At least one man is dead after two explosions near Brazil's Supreme Court. The building in the capital city of Brasilia was evacuated after the blast last night. Police say one explosion occurred in a square in front of the court building. The country's solicitor general posting on social media, the explosions were a deliberate attack. The Supreme Court building is located across the square from the presidential palace, and local media are reporting that the president had left the area shortly before the explosions. Brian Shook tells us Meta will be facing trial in an antitrust case brought by the FTC over its acquisitions of Instagram and WhatsApp.
A federal judge issued an order denying the Mark Zuckerberg-led company's request to drop the case. The FTC sued Meta in 2020, accusing the social media giant of having an illegal monopoly on social networking. Meta has denied those allegations and said it would review the judge's opinion when filed.
And forecasters are continuing to monitor disturbance in the Caribbean. It's expected Hurricane Hunter to become a tropical depression in the next couple of days and then a tropical storm. Forecast models show it could become a hurricane with various points in Florida as possible landfall sites. Sarah is the next name on the hurricane list. And Natalie Migliori tells us crews are preparing the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree for its big debut next month.
The 74-foot Norway spruce from West Stockbridge, Massachusetts, has been undergoing the decoration process since it arrived in Manhattan on Saturday. The tree is wrapped in 50,000 LED lights that are strung together by roughly 5 miles worth of wire and topped with a 900-pound Swarovski crystal star. That star has already been placed on the top of the tree that is set to be lit on December 4th.
Weight loss and diabetes drugs such as Ozempic could help curb alcohol abuse. A new study out of Sweden finding that alcoholics on those medications or similar medications had a lower risk of hospitalization. The study was published yesterday in the Journal of JAMA Psychiatry. And finally, in our news segment this morning on November 14th, 2024, Michael Monks tells us four people who claim their high-end cars were damaged by a bear are now facing charges.
Investigators claim there was no bear. It was someone in a bear costume. They say it was part of an attempt to make fraudulent insurance claims. The State Department of Insurance uncovered the scam in what it's called Operation Bear Claw. Three of the suspects are from Glendale, another is from Valley Village. They face charges of insurance fraud and conspiracy after allegedly claiming a bear damaged a Rolls Royce and two Mercedes at Lake Arrowhead. Video provided by the suspects proved to be their undoing in the alleged fraud that cost insurance companies more than $140,000.
Honestly, I don't know how people think they're going to get away with stuff like that. Anyway, just amazing. Alrighty then, it is a Thursday morning, and we have, well, some rain across the country, both on the East Coast and West Coast, as well as some dry spots. When we come back, we are going to check in with the one, the only, Father Mitch Pacwa. in terms of how we are to be good witnesses in this very difficult time right now after the election. That, and also taking a look at what some of these media people are saying, and different hosts and personalities, and even average Joes and Jills online on social media posts, screaming and yelling and saying they're not going to be with family this holiday season. Even one woman saying she's not going to go near her two sons because they voted for someone that she dislikes very strongly. We'll take a look at that with Father Mitch and wrap up a Thursday morning talking about the Good News Cruise 2026. We'll be right back.
Steve Ray here. Next year is a Jubilee year, and we're going to celebrate it in Rome. But not only Rome. This is our Saints and Shrines of Italy pilgrimage, and joining us is our good friend Teresa Tomeo.
Yes, Steve, fantastico. Walking through the holy doors, immersing ourselves in the deeply Catholic culture of Italy. I'll be joining you and Janet in Florence and Assisi.
Join us this May for the Jubilee year, from Milan to Florence and much more, all the way to Rome.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net. Ave Maria School of Law is the Roman Catholic law school in the United States. Consistently ranked in the Princeton Review as one of the best and most conservative law schools, as well as pre-law's most devout law school. Ave Maria School of Law provides a traditional legal education while emphasizing how the law intersects with the Catholic intellectual tradition and natural law philosophy. Ave Maria School of Law, unabashedly Catholic, consistently excellent. For more information, visit avemarialaw.edu.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Welcome back. Catholic Connection on a Thursday. Always great to check in with the one, the only, Father Mitch Bachla. Really needs no introduction. Know him well for his great work, his many books, and his programs in EWTN, his great insight. So, Father, there's some pretty evil stuff happening since the election last week. It's very, very disturbing, and it's deeply, deeply disturbing and deeply wrong when you have so many people encouraging others, starting with, I think one of the first exchanges was with Joy Reid on MSNBC. She has on a Yale psychiatrist encouraging people to stay away from their family over the holidays if they voted differently, as in if they voted for Donald Trump. It's to the point now where they're isolating themselves and the very people who love them the most because they can't face someone who disagrees with them, even if they disagree with them strongly. This is just really not good, not healthy, and I think, quite frankly, it's evil. What do you think?
There are a couple things. In one sense, I'm shocked at the psychologist. It appears to me that, because I saw that, and it appears that the psychologist had not gone into a very deep approach. This was a stopgap measure. Just stay away from people so you don't get into a fight. Instead of taking what I think is a little bit more deep approach, you know, one of the problems is that with so many of these issues, people are talking about their very identity being tied up with issues and personalities. And as a result, they see their personality as possibly being attacked, their personal identity, I should say. It's not really their personality that's being attacked, but they've chosen so many of these identities. We've talked throughout not only this election cycle, but I think over the past years, that people are about choosing identities, and we do identity politics. We see that there are certain groups, women, etc., and if you vote against me, you vote against my identity. And that's not the case. We're voting on issues. And you don't need to identify your whole personhood with an issue. And that's, I think that's one thing to call people away from that identity approach to politics and toward life and reality. It's just, you're setting yourself up for a life of perpetual hurt. Everything that you do will be experienced as my vulnerabilities. And people are talking like that. And you say, why? Why are you doing that? You don't need to. It's okay. We really like you. We disagree with you. But the other issue associated with this, and I think the psychologist missed pointing this out and trying to help people on a more profound level, is to say, look, a lot of times the reason you just cut off conversation is because you don't know what you're talking about, neither mm-hmm. does the other person. We don't have enough data. Again, on Monday, which was Veterans Day, another man on the street kind of set of interviews went on, and one of the questions was, whom did we fight in the American Revolution? Only one guy got it right.
Oh, my goodness.
They didn't know. Mm-hmm. One person, oh, we fought against the slaves. Thank you for playing, but no, that wasn't it. it was, no, this is something where we don't know enough about American history, yet alone about our faith. I saw this with college students who did not know the Ten Commandments, yet alone the seven sacraments. And nowhere close to the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. They didn't know they existed. And I've met seminarians who didn't know that there were mysteries for the rosary until they entered the seminary. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a time when there's woeful ignorance about the issues. The only recourse is to argue. You don't need to do that. You just don't. And, you know, there are other issues that you can approach, like, how is your family doing? How are your kids doing? You can talk about, you know, camping trips and a lot of other things. Is that superficial? Maybe it's not the most profound philosophical discussion, but it's probably going to have a lot more positive effect for everybody to just talk about what you do know. And then work to become better educated and love your family members even though they disagree.
I wanted to read you a few comments from a very interesting op-ed that I found yesterday online. This is on the New York Post. And I want to also ask you a couple of questions, and we may have to take this after the pick up the rest of it after the break. But this person is talking about what's happening with the psychiatrist from Yale, encouraging people to stay away from family members who voted differently with them and to, you know, isolate yourself. You need your time. And this writer says, only two types of people will tell you to separate yourself from your friends and your family because of ideological differences, cult leaders and domestic abusers. Cult leaders, members to understand, well, listen to this, understand that family is a pathway to normalcy that could potentially put or pull recruits away from their dogma. And by associating with your family, you're more likely to hear truths that challenge a cult's ideological propaganda. Yep. Cults abuse your naivety and insecurities by framing themselves as the only ones who can protect you from the evil outside their compound walls. And Calhoun, the doctor we're referencing, the psychiatrist, are engaging in cultish protectionism with the claim that the least bit of discomfort is enough to avoid speaking to people who allegedly aggrieved you and never examining the reason you're feeling uncomfortable in the first place. I think those are very good points.
One of the things I did back in the late 70s and early 80s is work in a little bit of anti-cult counseling and helping people with their relatives who were in cults. Cults were a big, big item in the 70s.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah, it was a precursor to the New Age movement, but then...
All right, hang on. We're going into the break. I knew that was going to happen. Sorry, Father, but I want to address this because you're bringing up some excellent points, and I also want to ask you a few questions about something else I found in relationship to this, and this is why it's so important to be a good example and always let your friends and loved one know the door is open, and if you don't agree with them, that's fine. Let's just talk about, I don't know, the World Series, whatever. We'll be right back.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you're on a football team, you don't want to just run up and down the field holding the ball and never cross into the end zone and get a touchdown. We want to reach our goal, but there are a lot of obstacles, discouragement, and challenges along the way. Jesus' voice is the one calling us to say yes to him, to live the life that he is calling us to live. We have to choose one way or the other, choose him or not. But if we choose him, we will be opposed. We're going to have people challenge what we believe or call us crazy. But Jesus doesn't just say, come follow me, to follow a beatitude. He's calling us to be like himself. He is the Beatitudes. He doesn't just say, do what I say. He says, come follow me. He's with us every step of the way, transforming our weakness into strength. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
He always starts with the good things. You know, the seven letters to the churches and the book of Revelation is a great way to write letters to other people, by the way, or to have conversations with other people. You start with what's going well. You do this, this, and this really well. I love it. Thank you. Here's what you're lacking. And I think for many of us as men, what the Lord's communicating at that second part of the letter or the second part of the conversation is, here's what we're lacking. You don't ever spend enough time with me. You have no idea what I'm trying to offer you in the gift of my friendship. Or if you do, you don't make time for it. And if you would but come to me, I would change your life like that. But you don't come. Not with the regularity that I want you to come. Not with the ardor and the fervor and the passion that I want you to come. I have a hunch, more than a hunch, that's what he says to me. And I got a hunch that's what he would say to many of us.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Father Mitch Pacwa joins us on Thursdays for our cultural connection. Okay, Father, we were interrupted by the music, musical chairs. So I wanted to let you pick up. You were telling us that you were working with some families who were trying to get their children out of cults, and this was in the 70s, and
right,
you noticed particular
right
things. Go ahead.
And I had to do a lot of research into what makes a cult. And a couple things that happened in cults, for instance, in one particular group, when you went there, you brought your laundry, and all the laundry for everybody in the camp was done together in a big machine. And then you went and picked out clothes that weren't your own. You just grabbed from that pile whatever fit you. What was the issue? They were changing your identity and giving you a new identity that they defined. Another characteristic is the way that they would redefine everyday English words, but they had special meanings within the cult that had nothing to do with objective meanings. And, you know, words like that that come to mind is the way fascist and Nazi have been tossed around when people who were using it were asked, again, and men on the street kind of interviews, what does the word fascist mean? what does Nazi mean? And Nazi, by the way, means National Socialist. I don't think that's what fit Donald Trump and his supporters. But that didn't matter. And they redefined it their own way. And coming up with new words like Antifa, which stood for anti-fascist. That they made that up, but it became a word. And this is a way of getting people to have a new identity. That identity is under threat, and only the cult group can protect you.
Right.
No.
Right.
No. Mm-hmm. No. No. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. And if well, it's not, if it,
go ahead,
if
I'm sorry, finish.
It's
I just want. Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to pose to people the way that President Biden and former President, now President-elect Trump, met yesterday and talked quietly. They were saying all these terrible things to each other. They sat down like gentlemen. They were the smile came from within. It wasn't a photograph smile. They both reported pleasant conversations after fighting each other nastily for the presidency. Now, okay, that's done. Let's go on. And that, I think, needs to be a model in the two presidents to say, we can, if those two, of all
I was just going to say, if those two can do it, of all people, why can't we? Yeah, yeah.
Then you and your sister, you and your mom, you and your brother can get along. You can find a way to enjoy dinner. Do you have to bring up the election? No. Should you gloat if you were on Trump's side or go with clothes torn because you were on Harris's side? Should you? No.
No.
You don't need to do that. Yet the turkey won't taste any better if you are lamenting your loss or, you know, spiking the ball in the end zone. Don't do that.
Right.
Act like ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, let's see what we can do to help go forward. I think in some quarters, even in the media, opponents of President Trump are, you know, taking a look at what he's doing, what he plans to do, and they're giving him a little bit of a chance to wait to see.
Really? I don't see that. Most of the time I'm seeing just the opposite, but maybe there's something I missed, so please send it to me. I'd be open to seeing it.
I've seen a few people, for instance, on CNN who have taken a more conciliatory tone. They disagree. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with disagreeing. But there is this wrath and resentment. You know, the way that Ms. Jean-Pierre still seems to hold on, or The View and a few other
very
people.
Condescending from KJP. Very condescending.
Exactly.
And just,
no
and just insulting as if... No, just,
no,
just answer
yeah.
the questions. That's your job as a press secretary.
Exactly. This is where we say, I don't want to be like that. I'd like to be like her boss, President Biden, and act, you know, with Dr. Jill Biden. They're being kind. We can do that. And they had a lot more at stake than Ms. Jean-Pierre. And the same thing with the ladies on The View. You don't have to, and some of the others on MSNBC, there are places. I had a great point with my guest last night who was talking about riots in the ancient cities that were tearing up the church and persecuting the church. You know, these folks, and I think everybody should remember this, MSNBC and all those, and Fox and CNN, all these folks are in their studio. The doors are locked. Their enemies can't get in. In the ancient times, they would meet in the town square or the forum, and they would duke it out and sometimes kill each other. These people don't do that. And you don't want to act like them, who are isolated from each other. It'd be one thing if you put, you know, the View, Sean Hannity, Jesse Waters, CNN, and all, put them in the same room together, put them in the ring together, and then see how they act. Are they going to tear each other up, or are they going to learn how to talk to Joe Scarborough, who, by the way, was a little bit more sedate? You know, you, on the other hand, and I, am going to be with friends and family. And we're going to be face-to-face at the dinner table and in the living room watching the game or playing touch football in the backyard. And we're not isolated in studios like these people. Mm-hmm. They are not the model to imitate. These are not the people you want to be like. They're all protected from each other. Mm-hmm. You are to be with family and friends with love and care and concern. That's because you are face to face with each other. Yeah. And don't make it the Roman Forum during the time of the Gracchi, where they are killing all these hundreds of people because of
as you're mashing your potatoes and stirring the gravy. Don't sit there and get so emotional. And I think that's a very mature and a very Christian response, Father. And if your relatives don't want to come, you say, you know what? I love you anyway. My door's open. Hopefully you'll change your mind. And then you just keep the door open. That's all you can do. Pray for them, invite them, tell them you love them, and that hopefully your relationship is more than just based on identity or politics. Father, great to have you on. Always a good perspective. Our cultural connections with Father Mitch Pacwa. We'll be right back.
When and how did Jesus allow some of his apostles to see him in his glory? After entrusting to Peter the keys to govern the house of God, the church, the Lord began to reveal to his followers that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things, including death, but that on the third day he would be raised from that death. It is during this period, according to the Catholic Catechism, that he takes Peter, James, and John up on a high mountain and there unveils his divine glory for a very brief time. His clothing, his face become dazzling with light. He also reveals he must go by way of the cross in Jerusalem to enter his glory. All the Trinity is present for the Transfiguration. The Father in the voice declaring Jesus to be his beloved Son. The Son in Jesus. The Spirit in the cloud that covers Jesus. The Transfiguration gives us a window on Jesus' glorious coming and our own transformation from a lowly body to a glorious body like his. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
What's the definition of frustration? Frustration is the difference between the way it is and the way you want it to be. It's hard to change the way it is. The way it is sometimes is other people, life, circumstances. The way you want it to be is in your power to change. You can close the gap between reality and what you want. The smaller that gap, the less your frustration. It is always easier to change oneself than to change reality. Frustration isn't always what happens out there. It is how we look at what happens out there.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
We just did our parish mission a couple weeks ago now, and I suggested that in the course of the mission that we do something like a little mini spiritual assessment of our lives. I don't have to show this to anybody, but a great chance for us just to, with real honesty, just between us and Jesus, ask ourselves some questions. First question, given the fact that half of Catholics don't think God is even personal, would be to ask ourselves that. Do I think God is personal? And then to ask myself, do I think a relationship with Jesus is possible? Do I have a relationship with Jesus? And if so, what's it look like? And then perhaps a little bit more awkwardly or painfully, to ask Jesus, from his perspective, what's the friendship that we have with him look like? How would he describe our friendship with him? That might be a hard conversation to have.
Welcome back. 40 minutes past hour on a Thursday, November 14th, and great to have my friend Steve Ray on with us. He's an author, speaker, pilgrimage leader, and convert to the faith. His website is CatholicConvert.com. Steve, how are you? And happy almost Thanksgiving. Can't believe it's almost the holidays.
I know. Good morning, Teresa. And congratulations on your new book on Italy. That's a very nice book. You should be proud of that. Congratulations.
Well, thank you for that incredible endorsement. I was like, wow, and especially coming from you because, well, you and I have been to Italy many times together, and we're going to be back together in May for Saints and Shrines, but that meant so much. And it goes to print tomorrow, Italy Shrines and Wonders, published by EWTN, and Steve is one of the endorsers. Greatly appreciate that. And you can get it. It's available on Amazon already, Italy's Shrines and Wonders. Okay, so we are going to talk about Italy and your trips, but a little bit later in the interview, because we want to concentrate on the Good News Cruise 2026. I'll tell you what, it is filling up so quickly, and it's more than a year away. So when you saw the itinerary, wasn't it crazy with all the people that are going to be there to share their love of the Lord and the church?
Yeah, just a couple of things about that. You know, the 2025 coming up this January has been sold out for a long time. And
right.
That's on a ship with mixed groups. It's not just the Catholic group, but it's a bunch of other groups as well and people. But what's interesting about the 2026 cruise is that it's almost sold out now. So if people want to get on, they better get on quick because it's going to sell out fast like the 2025 trip. But it's all our group. We have the whole ship. It's all going to be a bunch of us wild-eyed, crazy Catholics enjoying fellowship and the Mass together and eating dinner together and singing and praying together. It's the whole ship is ours. And that really is significant when it comes to a cruise because, you know, the other groups can be disruptive at times. And so I think this is going to be pretty special. And the list of speakers is quite a good collection. In fact, you and Dominic are going to be on that cruise.
Yep.
So are my wife,
can't wait.
Janet and I. And Janet and I are going to be on there. And it's just the whole list of folks there is really quite spectacular, not even to mention Bocelli, who's going to be singing for us there. I mean, people pay huge amounts of money to go here. Andrea Bocelli, but he's going to be singing for us right on the ship and get to meet him. What a blessing that will be.
Yeah, two concerts. So what he's going to do is, because we do, as you said, Steve, have the entire ship, and there isn't an auditorium on the ship on board to fit all the people. We're hoping to get 2,000. I think it's just about around 2,000 people. We're very close to that right now, and the website is goodnewscruise.com. So he's going to be coming in, flying into the Caribbean, and when we're in port, he'll come on the ship twice for two concerts so everyone who's registered can hear his beautiful voice. In addition to Andrea Bocelli, we have Father Mike Schmitz, Matt Marr, Deacon Harold Berg-Sivers, Father Joseph Krupp will serve as our MC, Father John Mercado, Ray Guarendi, Steve Ray, Deacon Dominic and I will be there, Sarah Kroger, let's see, Father Pavanka from Steubenville, Bishop Joe Coffey from Philadelphia, Father Pat Linghug, Dr. Elizabeth Lev, John Angotti, who's an amazing musician as well, our very own Matthew Bunsen, Father Matthias, let's see, Matt Burke. Oh my gosh, it just goes on and on and on. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So we want to remind people to book now because it is going to sell out. It really is. I think it's special that we're doing this. What's nice is there will be different tracks this time, as you mentioned, Steve. Normally it's just mainly a marriage cruise, but this time we're going to have different topics that we're going to cover, which I think is great.
Yeah, I talked to John Hale about that, and a year or so ago, that he should get the whole ship himself, and I really encouraged him to do that because it changes the whole tone of the cruise when it's just our group. And because you bump into someone in the hall, you know they're Catholic and they're with your group too. It's just a whole different dynamic. But I also said that there should be other tracks. There should be some things about apologetics and other classes that they can take there on the ship because that's going to draw more people and give more of a wide range of topics and things for people. And, you know, one of the things that we're doing, Teresa, this is, we haven't announced it yet, but Janet and I are going to take a group to St. Augustine, Florida, the few days beforehand.
Oh,
so that we're
nice.
Going to go to St. Augustine and see where Catholicism started and do all of that. And then we're going to have a bus that takes everybody right down to join the cruise. So it's kind of like two trips for the price of one. if you do this. And we haven't announced it yet, but we still have a year to go. But we're going to do that. That's where Christianity came to the New World. We thought it was the Pilgrims, but the Catholics arrived 50 years earlier. And so we're going to add that little bit ahead of the cruise so people can go spend 4 days there with us, and then a bus will take us right to the cruise to join.
That's a really nice thing, and it's kind of cool because it's like your own excursion. You know how to do excursions on cruises, and they do extensions at the end of the cruise. So that's a really cool thing. So yeah. There'll be information upcoming. You haven't announced it yet, but they can go to, of course, your website, right?
Yep, we're putting it together right now with John Hale and Corporate Travel. And like your trips to Italy, when you take your groups there and I take my groups all over the place, we always work with Corporate Travel. Because these folks, this is next year's our 20th anniversary, Teresa, of leading pilgrimages. We took our first pilgrimage to the Holy Land in 2005, so this is our 20th anniversary, so we're celebrating. And I'm saying that because I want to mention Corporate Travel, that we have been working exclusively with John Hale and all the good folks at Corporate Travel for 20 years. And I'm a very picky person. I'm a business owner like
me
you
too.
Are.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
you don't work with people that don't take care of things well, and I cannot say enough good about Corporate Travel and how they've handled our business.
Well, I will second that, as they say, because we've been doing pilgrimages, and my first with John and Corporate Travel was in 2003, so it's 2024, so what's that, 25, it'll be 22 years. And I talk about this in the book, and I actually dedicated the book to John Hale and Corporate Travel because it was his invitation that really got me and Dom involved in doing pilgrimages. I had been on a pilgrimage once to Italy and then once to the Holy Land before I met you. And Steve, they were nothing compared to what we experience when you're working with Corporate Travel.
Yeah, I love hearing stories of people that travel with us tell us their stories of traveling with other companies. They said, we won't do it again. We're going to stick with you guys. But I just got an email like that today, actually. So, yeah, the Corporate Travel is great, and this cruise is going to be good. It's going to be a fun time for everybody. And, and it's not about the destinations. It's not about the ports where we come in. This is all about what's going on the ship. And, yeah, we can get off. People can get off at these nice locations and go out and enjoy the sun and so on. But in the wintertime, this is why it's done in February to go down in the where it's warm. People get away from the snow up here in Michigan or wherever they're up north here. But it's not about the destinations or the port of calls. This is what's happening here is all about what's going on the ship. And that's what's so special about this trip. That ship is going to be one beehive of wonderful activity, good food, music, mass, friendship,
dancing,
fellowship, talk.
Dancing.
I'll leave that part up to you, Teresa. You're good at that.
No, but I'm looking at the itinerary. You know what's really cool? I love my favorite time on the ships, and Dominic and I have been doing cruises forever, the days at sea, because the ships are so beautiful, and then you get to just enjoy the water and marvel at God's creativity. So this starts actually on February 8th. We're talking about the 2026 cruise itinerary with Steve Ray and so many of us, goodnewscruise.com. We leave from Fort Lauderdale, day at sea, go to Miami, day at sea, go to Cozumel, day at sea. So there's 4 days at sea. And that will give you a lot of time to take in all the different events. I mean, now you're not going to be able to go see everything. You'd have to pick and choose. But you won't. What I like about this, Steve, is you won't be that tempted and feel like, oh, I'm missing something if I don't go into Miami or if I don't go into Cozumel. I mean, you can, obviously. But, I mean, to enjoy those days at sea surrounded by the water is so special. And then to have more time to enjoy all the different presentations.
Yeah, and the Holland America cruise lines are really elegant. Corporate Travel didn't cut any expenses here. They got the best cruise line. I've been on Holland America as many times, Janet and I know you have. And they're really elegant ships, and the food is fantastic. And just the environment, it's clean and it's beautiful, and there's the great hallways and the restaurants. It's like a city. It's like a floating city.
It is. It's a floating city.
Like. And another nice thing is, too, if the smaller the ship, the more rocking and seasick you get. But when these big ships are there, they're pretty stable. You don't feel much of the waves on these big ships.
Yeah, and you know what? The other thing is there's so much available now. People think they're sensitive. You have the patch, and you have different types of really good medication over the counter that can help you. And these ships are very, very well balanced, so it wouldn't even worry about that. We're talking with Steve Ray of course, author, speaker, and convert to the faith, CatholicConvert.com, who is putting together, this is very cool, if you are coming, if you're already booked for the Good News Cruise, GoodNewsCruise.com, he's putting together a special pre-event for the cruise to St. Augustine to learn about the history of Catholicism in the United States. So they can go to, I know it's not up there yet, but it will be up at CatholicConvert.com. And then after that excursion, he'll take you right down to the port in Fort Lauderdale. So you have some other things coming up. Only a few minutes left. You and I are going to be together for at least part of your trip in May, Saints and Shrines. I'll be joining you in Florence and Assisi. That'll be a lot of fun. I can't wait for that. We're going to do a cooking class and going to learn all about St. Francis. So yeah, I'm pretty excited. And you've got some other things coming up too. Oops, Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
There you are. Okay, go ahead. Lost you for a second. Go ahead.
We do wine tasting and the cooking class. That's always fun. But the Saints and Shrines starts in Milan and works all the way down through all of those marvelous sites and ends up in Rome with Liz Lev, of course, who's also going to be on this cruise. But we also have an exciting one coming up in April, Teresa. It's Poland, the modern saints of Poland, John Paul II, Maximilian Kolbe, Maria Faustina. And the cool thing about this one is we got special access to the Divine Mercy Mass at the Divine Mercy Church on Divine Mercy Sunday.
Wow.
This is Divine Mercy Sunday at the church with the Sisters of Maria Faustina. That's part of our program. That's going to be really, it's unprecedented. That's the one that goes worldwide on television. Well, and that's right at the body of Maria Faustina's there, too, right in front while we're celebrating that Mass. And we're also, we go to Auschwitz and we go to the cell of Maximilian Kolbe, who gave his life. And you know what? Since we're on radio, it's really significant that Maximilian Kolbe,
absolutely.
He was like one of the pioneers of Catholic radio.
Sure was.
He was probably maybe the first. And that's probably why Poland stayed Catholic through the Nazi and the Soviet eras, because they were so well catechized by Maximilian Kolbe and the parishes and what he did with print and what he did with radio. So anyway, that's real, I always make a big deal about that when we go see Maximilian Kolbe there because of the Catholic radio that he did. So Poland is coming up in April, and then our 20th anniversary gala, we're having a big celebration. We've also rented the whole ship. We're doing a Danube River cruise, and that's almost full, too. We only have, I think, 26 cabins left, or more than two-thirds, three-quarters of the way full. And that's coming up in June, and we're going to be going through five countries through the Danube River cruise, and that's kind of our 25th anniversary. And we also, in the fall, have Saints and Shrines of France, where we're going to have Mass in the newly restored Notre Dame Cathedral, and we're going to celebrate D-Day on Omaha Beach then, too. And
cool.
And then we're getting back to Israel next year, too. We're already planning four trips to Israel as we see things are going to start leveling out over there and getting peaceful again, it looks like. So we're tentatively planning four trips to Israel next year as well.
So when will that be, Steve? What will that be for Israel? Because I know that people are really interested. I've been getting a lot of questions about that, when you would be,
I had so many sold-out groups. We've lost 15 trips to Israel since the war started. 15 trips with loss. But we are going September, November, December, but we're also tentatively putting one in March, because I really think that with a Trump coming in, and there's a lot of talk now about settling it down and getting peace talks going and stopping this, and then that's the case, we will go over there. It'll be safer than ever in March, and there will be no lines. We will have access to everything with no other groups in our way, so to speak.
Yeah.
Gives us a lot more access. So lots coming up, Teresa, and then congratulations again on your new book.
Well, thank you, Steve, for your support, and look forward, God willing, with traveling with you and Janet on the cruise and to Italy. And again, Steve can be found at CatholicConvert.com for the cruise, GoodNewsCruise.com, or CTSCentral.net. Lots of folks from EW10 are going to be on that cruise in 26, including our very own Dr. Matthew Bunsen. That's very exciting. We'll be right back.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I want you to have such confidence in the Lord that you'll find such hope and see the beauty of the Lord, the majesty of God. What did our Lord say, huh? If your sins are as scarlet, oh, what? What's going to happen? They shall be made white as snow.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Catholic Connection is sponsored by House of Joppa. House of Joppa's mission is to share the beauty of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith in our homes through Catholic home decor, art, candles, statues, rosaries, and Catholic jewelry. They're gifts designed to help you live out your Catholic faith. For more information, go to houseofjoppa.com. That's houseofjoppa, J-O-P-P-A.com.
More of Catholic Connection coming up on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio.
Appreciate your listenership. Don't forget, all of our interviews can be found at our archive section at AveMariaRadio.net. Coming up tomorrow, much to discuss and much to look forward to, especially when it comes to our programming, Doug Keck, and of course our Fact Check Friday. Have a great Thursday. God willing, talk to you tomorrow. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.